remembered to print out my notes tonight. Thanks. I'm so excited. I'm very analog in like everything I do, so it usually takes me twice as long as most adults to do stuff because I have to write it down and then type it in, and then after that I have to print it out so that I can highlight it. Right? Yeah. So that's my life. So, oh boy. You all right? Homeschooled. Homeschooled. Oh. It's like really vicious. Huh? What? What? Oh. Your phone? I'm not going to go grab your phone. I love you. Also homeschooled. We homeschooled can't survive without our parents, but that's okay. So we've been learning about Jesus, which we're supposed to do, right? And we've been talking about his parables, which I kind of really love because Jesus, one of the things that sort of resonates with me about Jesus is that he's really not afraid to be a little kind of sarcastic sometimes. Sometimes he's a little in your face. And I feel like a parable sometimes, even though it seems gentle, it's kind of his way of saying, like, since you don't understand what I've already taught you, let me give you a child's story. Maybe you'll understand it then, right? Like, let me draw you a picture, right? And this one sort of really hits me that way sometimes when I'm reading it because he's definitely, I feel, kind of getting in their face in a little bit of a tender way, all right? So we're going to start right off with the actual passage that is the parable. It's in Matthew chapter 20. Jesus is talking to his disciples right now, and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire some workers for his vineyard. He agrees to pay his workers the normal daily wage, and then he sent them out to do the work. All right. So at 9 o'clock in the morning, he goes through the marketplace to find workers. He sees some people standing around doing nothing. So he hires them, telling them that he'll pay them whatever is right at the end of the day. And so they went to work in his vineyard. Then at noon and again at 3 o'clock, the landowner did the same thing. So he went back to the marketplace, walked around, found people who needed work, hired them, and put them to work and said, I'll pay you what you have earned at the end of the day. I'll pay you a daily wage. But then at 5 o'clock in the afternoon again, he was in the marketplace and he saw some more people standing around and he said, why haven't you been working today? And they said, well, because nobody's hired us. And he said, well, go out and join the others in my vineyard. I'll hire you. Okay. So this is how our story, our parable starts. Just some guy who owns a vineyard, making wine, hiring workers to do a job for him. This tells me two things. This tells me, A, there's work that he needs done. And B, there's people who exist who can do the work. All right? It's pretty simple for us to understand. All right? And just like this, he always paints a picture of something that he wants us to learn. Just like in the parable, Christ has called us to work. We all know that, right? Yes, ma'am?
Okay, so Applewood wondered this question. Is a vineyard just for making wine, or can they also make grape juice for children?
They can probably make grape juice for children. It just doesn't take as long.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they just squeeze them out, drink it right away. Yeah, yeah. But, like, they didn't have refrigerators, so if the grape juice sat for, like, more than an hour, you can't have it anymore. Sorry. So just like this guy, Christ has called us to work. All right. He didn't just say like, hey, disciples, believe in me. That's it. That's all you have to do. There's work to be done and people exist and the people are us. Okay. He asked them to embark on a very serious mission and he actually told them that it would cost them their whole lives. He said, leave your family, leave your stuff, leave your business, leave your parents. Just follow me. I promise it will be worth it. We have a job to do. And so some of them decided to go, and they became his very first little posse. It was the first youth group, right? All right, let's finish the story, Matthew 20. verse 8 says, that evening, so it's the end of the day, the landowner told the foreman to call all the workers in and pay them. Now, he started with the last workers first. So when those that he hired at 5 o'clock got paid, each of them received a full day's wage, which is what he promised them. But then when those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed that they would get more. But they, too, were paid a day's wage, which is what he had promised them. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner, those people worked only 1 hour, and yet you've paid them just as much as you've paid us, who worked all day in the scorching heat. And he answered one of them, friend, I have not been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my own money? Should you be jealous because I'm kind to others? He said, so those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last. Okay? So in Jesus's tale, he's saying this guy went to the marketplace, hired a bunch of people, and said, I'll pay you a full day's wage to come and work at my vineyard. When they lined up to get paid, some of them complained about it. Now, their argument was that, well, those guys didn't work as much as I did, and they got paid the same amount, right? And the owner of the vineyard said, okay, but I did tell you that I'd pay you this much. If I say, hey, come work for me, and I'll give you $10, and then I tell you, come work for me, and I'll give you $10, but you only worked half as much as she did, you're still both getting $10, which may not seem fair to you, but you did get what I promised, right? Did you not? Okay. So the workers were saying that their reward wasn't fair. And I want you to think about whether or not our reward is fair. Jesus always has kind of a reason for these parables, and he kind of wants you to think about it, but he still explains himself, right? In case we can't quite grasp it. I feel that sometimes we look at other Christians and we feel they're being blessed more than we are, or we feel that they're just not working as hard as we are, but they're going to get the same thing we're going to get, right? Sometimes even in ministry, adults will see like somebody, oh, but they're a new Christian and they shouldn't be helping in that area because they don't know what I know, right? But they're just trying to do a job just like you are, right? I think our biggest mistake would be to forget that the forgiveness and the eternal life that God gives us is a gift. It's like we didn't earn it. We didn't go to work for him for a day, and Lizzie only went to work for him for half a day, and he's going to, right? This is a gift that he's giving us. It's not something that we could ever earn. At the very beginning of our faith journey, we know what it is, okay? So whether I was saved at 6 and you were saved at however old you are, is our reward any different? Is our eternal life any different? Do you get like only 100 years of not being dead and I get forever? No. Right? But I knew this when I signed on, and I knew that there was work to be done, and I knew that some of that work was to make other people be Christians after I was. But sometimes we're like, well, they don't know that much. Or sometimes we get tired of working. Okay? I'm going to backtrack a little bit. I want to know why we're talking about this. Because it seems as though we need a little backstory. Right before this chapter, Matthew 19, Peter asks Jesus a question. Peter said, we gave up everything to follow you. And what will we get in return? And I feel like Jesus is kind of like, well, I'm dying for you. But he didn't say that. He gave him this story. He said, look, I asked you to work for me and you agreed to. And you're gonna get what you get. And you don't throw a fit. Right? Right. But he doesn't. He's not harsh. He's just saying, like, you know the deal, okay? You knew that you would have to work hard. These were trying times. The guys knew what they were signing up for. They kind of knew that they were going to be given a hard time, right? But Peter was still asking, like, hey, what's in it for me? And we, I think, tend to do that too. Like, what's in it for us? We always want to have a fun time, and that's okay. But we do still sometimes ask what's in it for us, right? Like, well, I'll go to this thing, but only because I'm going to get the volunteer hours. Or like, I'll sell the pepperoni rolls, but only because, like, you know, I just want to go have fun over the summer, go to camp. Okay? The question is, will we agree to work when we've been asked to work? Will we agree to work? And are we willing to do the work that needs done? So there is work to do, and there are people to do it, and those people are us. Okay? We sign up for this whole Christianity thing, and we follow Jesus because he's love and everything, and it's all gooey and rainbow and unicorn farts. But sometimes when it gets down to it, it's not fun. Because sometimes the work that there is to be done right now is not the stuff that we would choose. You guys, I did not think I would be here tonight. Not because I got a flat tire or because my day went bad, but because I didn't think I would be in youth ministry ever, or kids ministry ever, or any kind of ministry ever. All right? And it's because I don't deal well with people the way that Jesus did. My response to Peter would not have been this story. It had been like, look, I'm literally dying for you. What do you get? What do you get? The whole rest of eternity not being dead, that's what you get, right? But no, he brought it in, gave him a little lesson, and I think that's what he wants us to do too. When we're facing times that we're like, I don't want to be doing this, we need to remember the long shot. Somebody has to do the dirty work. What kind of job will we do? What kind of job will we do? What are our motives? Okay. When we come together, we want to encourage each other. Of course we get something in return. I come here and I see all you guys and I get a bunch of hugs and I give a bunch of hugs and it's a really lovely time. Sometimes I come in here and one of you comes up to me and says, I have had XYZ kind of very crappy day. And I'm like, well, I was looking to have a good time. Is that fair? No. I have a job to do. I have a job to do. Okay? I want to come here and praise Jesus. That's all I want to do. I feel like if it was just us worshiping forever, that's all I want to do. That's what we get to do. That's what's in it for us. One day. In the meantime, there's work to do. Sometimes we're called to minister to people that we don't want to minister to. Sometimes we need to make room for somebody at church that we don't want to sit next to. Okay? And I think that the reason that we're called to do those things is that we can see ourselves in other people sometimes. Sometimes we look at someone and we can pick out all their little faults. But then as soon as they leave our presence, we start to notice some of our own. We're like, ooh, I'm kind of icky and ouchy about that, right? There's a lot of work to be done. The fact that we're called to do it should be an honor to us. I want to ask, what is it worth to you? What is it worth to you to get your reward? Is it worth working at things that you don't want to do? Okay? We need to be honest with ourselves. Are we answering a call to serve, or are we just kind of hanging out here at church? Okay, are we like following Jesus on Twitter, or are we following him on Instagram? Are we commenting on Facebook, right? Like, what are we, if you don't have a phone, well, that's good for you. That's lovely. My phone broke for 3 days last year. It was the best 3 days of my life. I was freaked out at first, and then I realized how much easier my whole life was. Nobody could talk to me. It was so lovely. So good. Okay. But let's be honest with ourselves. Are we hanging out? Or are we going out? Are we working on the rest of the flock? You guys, they get the reward too. Even if you think their life is a mess, or if you think they don't deserve it because they don't believe in God. You wouldn't believe in God if nobody told you that he was there. You wouldn't have accepted Christ if no one told you that you should, that it might be a good idea. Okay? Nobody wants to think that they're awful and full of sin, but if you never realize it, you don't know that you need to be forgiven. I'm not telling you to go out there and tell everybody they're evil and hateful and terrible people and they need Jesus or they're going to burn in hell forever. That's not really what I'm saying. Okay? But we need to be there for the difficult people and for the easy people. I'm going to jump to Isaiah 6:8. And we've heard this a lot of times because we do a lot of missions trips in here and we support a lot of missions trips and we do a lot of fundraisers and whatever. But Isaiah really had a lot to say. He's kind of probably my favorite guy in the book. He was chosen to say a lot of things that God wanted to say to his people, but he couldn't be there because he was still separate from us, right? So Isaiah was a prophet. And God asked, who should I send as a messenger to the people who will go for us? He said, here I am, send me. We've heard that a bunch of times. There's songs that say, here I am, send me. Some of us had it tattooed on our bodies. Mm-hmm. Okay? Why are we so willing to do this? Why do we love that phrase? Here I am, send me. It seems fun at first, but when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, are we still there? And I've seen a lot of you be there. Last summer, high schoolers did it. I've seen a lot of you. I don't obviously don't have you high schoolers in small group, but I have the middle schoolers there, the middle school girls, and I see them doing the nitty-gritty in school, and I hear their stories. And I know that we answer this call because we were made for it. It's the reason that we live. We were built for this hard work. Matthew 9:37 says that the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest and ask him to send workers into the field. That's exactly what this guy did. He needed work done. He went out and got them. The workers exist. They're us. He wouldn't have said, go gather the people if there was nobody to gather them. He's talking to us. Okay, he can't go and ask his non-followers to get other non-followers to follow him. That's us. I also know that it's what we were built for because later on in Isaiah chapter 51, one of my favorite things ever that I've read, God says, listen to me, all you hope for deliverance, all who seek the Lord. He's literally saying, listen to me. Look at the rock from which you were cut, which sounds weird, the quarry from which you are mined. He says, look at the rock that you were cut out of. And then he mentions, look at Abraham and Sarah. They started it all. He's saying, don't forget who you are. Don't forget who you came from. It's part of us. Abraham started this whole thing when he had faith in God. I know somewhere in middle school, we had this whole talk on faith. And Abraham's always the first guy I mentioned. By faith, Abraham was made righteous. He was seen as good enough in the eyes of God to gain his favor because he believed in God. And you guys, we're spiritual descendants of him. We are inherently workers of Christ. That's how I know it's our job. I know it's our job because he said, go do it. And he's talking to us, literally talking to us. Okay? The thing I want to focus on is the fact that even though we can't guarantee our hard work to God, he still guarantees our reward. It's not just eternal life. It's not just not dying forever. Okay? He blesses our obedience here on earth, and he will bless it after our earthly life is over. You guys standing around all day singing praise and worship songs, the size of that feast at the end of time, and also just getting to be with God. We're on this planet because we can't be next to God. He guarantees us this reward if we will just do our jobs. We accept Christ, we gain eternal life. Our job is to find more acceptors of Christ. It's difficult to do sometimes, but it is our whole mission. It's the last thing that he asked us to do before he left us. He knew that we were imperfect when he promised us eternal life. He knew that we were easily swayed by all the fun stuff that we get to do. And he knew that we would grow complacent. The thing about these workers is, if you went to work at 9 o'clock in the morning, and you saw more people showing up, do you think you'd still be working as hard at 5 o'clock when new people got there if you knew you were going to get paid at the end of the day anyway? That's why Jesus is like, no, I'm going to pay you last. I know you worked all day, but you didn't work for this money all day. Maybe you worked until noon when the second wave of workers came in, and maybe you worked hard until 3 when the next wave came in. But do you think they really worked as hard as they could until 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the evening? Are we working as hard now on our relationship with God as we did when we first said yes? Now, sometimes we can say, yeah, yeah. And other times, it's just a little too easy to forget that we have work to do. And some of you have jobs. You probably see it at your work. Somebody gets there when the boss is there, and then as soon as the boss leaves, they're like, not working anymore. Okay? Our promise from God is that he will always guide us and always bless us. We need to be working like we did when we first signed on, all the way until the end, until the last person bows their head and says yes. He enlisted us to help save them. That makes their life just as valuable as ours. Okay, if they get paid a day's wage at the end of the day and we get the same thing, then their work is as valuable as ours, no matter when they started. My prayer is that I stop growing complacent, that I keep working hard, and that I keep the passion. You know, we get to go to conventions and we get it back. And we go to church on Sunday morning and they do our favorite worship song. And so we're like, yes, I love God. Right? And then halfway through the week, it starts to fade. Or maybe halfway through the year after we had a really great missions trip, it starts to fade. But that's where we can help each other out. That's what we're here for. Okay, we go out there to help others. We're in here to help each other. Okay. I'm going to pray us out. But I want you guys to remember to work this week. Okay? Find somebody to work for. Find somebody to help out. Don't let it get old. Okay. God, thank you for bringing us together again midway through the week. We're getting tired. The school week, the work week is almost over. It's halfway through. Some of us don't have a weekend coming up. We're just starting to work. A lot of us know that we have a stressful weekend coming up. Maybe we don't have a lot of people to confide in when it gets ragged and rough and the work is too hard. And I just beg you to inspire each and every one of our students and our workers to remember that that's what we are here for, that we work for each other as well. When we're faced with someone who doesn't want to hear what we have to say, our job is not to argue. It's just to love them. And when we're faced with somebody who really needs our help, but we feel like we don't have the time, our job is to love them. And when we're faced with a problem that we can't solve, we should look to each other and look at your word. And as long as there's work to be done, God, I beg that you inspire us to keep on working every day, not just on Sunday and not just on Wednesday. I thank you for all the inspiration you give us through your Holy Spirit and all the guidance that you've given us through your word. And I thank you for putting it into a simpler story when you know we can't get the point. I pray that you bless us through the week till we meet again on Sunday, or maybe some of us meet again next Wednesday. Thank you, Father, for all that you've sacrificed for us. Amen.